The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are commenting on the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. We are in the last few verses of chapter 14. The Lord was speaking to his disciples in the day of the Last Supper, and he said, "Now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe." So by telling them what exactly will happen, that he will leave them soon, and the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will dwell inside their hearts. So when it happens, they made sure that all what he said happened, and all the promises given fulfilled. "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me." So he wanted to tell them, "I have to finish what I'm saying soon, because the hour is coming," just few hours before his crucifixion. And this conspiracy done by the devil through the Jew and the Roman powers will happen soon. So he's telling them, "I have many things to say, but let me tell you everything after resurrection." That's why we believe in the 40 days till his ascension, he spent much longer times telling them all the truth, all the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, all the rites of the church, all the doctrines, all the teaching they will teach and preach everywhere. So that this start of his sermon in the Last Supper day was contained in the 40 days after his resurrection. "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he had nothing in me." By saying the ruler is coming, means that the devil will take his step now. He will, you know, kill the Lord himself. The Lord allowed for this to happen. So it looks like that the devil won the game, but that was not the truth, because you all know by his redemption, everyone will be saved. "The ruler of this world is coming," and by saying the ruler of this world, it's not God, because the world went astray. They did not follow Christ himself. "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." So they will go just to meet Judas Iscariot, and the betrayal story started. So he is finishing the sermon now. But he finished it this way: "The world may know that I love the Father." Out of his submission, out of his true love to the Father and to human beings, he came to save everyone. He came to suffer. He came to die. He accepted all the sufferings just because of his love. Love to the Father and love to everyone. "The world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment." He's saying this as a role model for us. We should say the same, because we love God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the commandment given by the Holy Trinity, we will do, we will follow, because we love them. "Arise, let's go from here." So they started moving on in Gethsemane. So it's like few minutes they will, you know, meet Judas Iscariot. We're starting chapter 15. "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." So Christ used to give his teaching in parables in order to help his people to understand the meaning. And, you know, they were in like a big farm in Gethsemane, and they can see the vine around them. So he's giving them the example, saying, "My Father is the vine dresser, and I'm the true vine. After he said it many times, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. So putting upon the foundation of the one divine nature of the Holy Trinity, now being the Son of Man, he is like the vine, he's the start of the church. And the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me, that's the members of the church, the disciples and the followers, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So he's adding upon the teaching that you need to be fruitful in your life. You need not only to believe in the Holy Trinity and the redemption done by the Lord, but you need to be fruitful. You need to stick to the vine in order to get the fruits. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So the work of the Holy Spirit inside our hearts will push us to be better always, to bring more fruits. If you are not fruitful, you are prone to be cut off and to be in the fire. But if you are getting fruits, you will get more and more by the Spirit inside your heart. Again, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So he taught us by this that one of the ways to be purified is the word of God, by listening to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, by obeying his commandment, by spending time with him, by focusing on his teaching, we are getting this purity. So we are clean just because of his word, not because we are by ourselves clean. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. So, as if he's saying, put this always in your mind. Abide in me, and I in you. When you are fixed in me, you will do my will. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you are knowing the truth, the way, and the life. You are catching the kingdom of heaven through me. So abide in me, and I'm doing my part. I'm always trying to abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So no one can do good things according to the will of God without the power of God, without the grace of God. So the Holy Spirit works at the power and the grace of God. So we cannot be fruitful, we cannot gain fruits or souls to the kingdom of heaven without the power of the Lord himself. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Practically speaking, this kind of abiding in him needs to spend time with the Bible, to pray the Psalms, to go for the Eucharist regularly, to repent, to focus on God all the time, to serve his people, to love everyone. So this is the way how we can abide in him. And by this abiding, fruits will come up with, you know, more and more day after day. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Again, he's repeating the same meaning. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Without me you can do nothing. He is telling us about what should we do. So gaining people to the heaven, we cannot do the service without him. You can never be better without God. You cannot stop doing any bad thing without God. You cannot conquer evil without God. You cannot convince others with the faith of Christian people without me. So you cannot change the whole world from inside or outside yourself without me. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out at the branch, and it withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. So this is the end of the story of the wicked people who rejected Christ. And, you know, Christ always keeps trying with everyone to know him, to accept him. He wants everyone to come to the truth. But, you know, with the free will of man, people may reject the call day after day. So with the end of the days, they did not want to be a branch in his vine. They rejected the unity in him. So by this, they will be thrown to fire, and that's their free choice. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, so he changed this verse. He used to say, and I abide in you. He put it this way, and my words abide in you. So the work of Christ to abide with us is through his word. So when we study the Gospels, when we memorize the verses, when we pray with his teaching, when we follow the commandments, he is really united with us and we abide in him. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Somebody may say, I ask many times for my desires and I got nothing. Wait a minute. He told us, if you abide in him, if you abide in him, his will be your will. So you will desire what God wants. So your desires will be always spiritual. You will desire for the salvation of the whole world, as exactly the wish of Christ himself. So you will pray with God's desire. That's as simple as having the heart of Christ himself, having the mind of Christ himself. So by this kind of abiding, your prayer will be according to the will of God himself. So all your prayers will be rewarded. By this my Father is glorified, and the glorification of the Father is through the salvation of everyone. And that's the desire of his people, as exactly as the desire of Christ himself. That you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. This means, my beloved people, that when we pray for many earthly things, this means that we are not into the unity of Christ. We are not having the desires of God. We still have our own desires. So our prayers sometimes are not up to the will of Christ himself. But when we come closer, when we abide as a branch in the vine, now we are praying with the Holy Spirit the same desire of God himself. So we will see the answer clearly, and we will enjoy that all our prayers are accepted. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Christ is putting himself always like the example, the role model for everyone, for his disciples. So he followed the commandment of the Father. He obeyed. But you know, he is God. But being the Son of Man, he showed us that he was like always submitting himself to the order of the Father, although they are one in divinity. But giving us the example so we can follow him, obeying all his commandments, we will be saved. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So putting love always parallel to the commandment. No one can say, I love God, and he is not focusing on the commandment. Obeying the commandment means that you love him. When you obey more, you love more. When you focus more, you love him more. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So by telling us all the pillars of our spiritual life, that we should abide in him like a branch in the vine, and we should express our love by caring much for his commandments. So by this new life, we can enjoy the joy of the Spirit, the joy of heaven. So these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So let me tell you that it's always parallel, the joy of the Spirit and the level of obedience to the commandments of God. When we care so much to obey God's word, you will be filled with the joy of the Spirit. That's why the saints feel more joyful than us, because they love him more and they care more for his commandments. So all the joy of the Spirit filled their heart. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Because there are many, many commandments, but as if Christ is saying, just one big commandment, you know, will let you do all the will of God. Love one another. When you love all the people, now you are doing the will of God. Because by loving people, you will not judge people. You will endure things. You will serve. You will care. You will excuse them. You will help them. You will pray for them. You will forgive them. You will give more and more to them. So you will do all the commandments when you focus on the great commandment of love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So the standard of loving each other is always the love of Christ to us. Christ loved us so much with unconditional love. He loved us up to the cross. He loved us and came to save us. He forgave us. He gave us everything, up to his Spirit, his body and his blood on the altar. So with this standard, we need to love each other. So we need to look up to our teacher, the Lord himself. When he loved everyone, so now we should love everyone. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So no greater love than the one showed in the cross. When you lay down your life for the sake of others, it's, you know, the most precious gift you can give to others. And Christ had done this. He came to die for us. He was the sacrifice. He redeemed us. So by this, he showed how much love he's loving everyone. And we need to follow him and love one another on the same level. Glory to God. Amen.